and visited us. We thank you, Lord, for your visitation on this morning. We thank and praise you, Father God, for all the praises, all the glory, oh God, that went up, God, in your name. Lord, now, God, we ask, God, that you will anoint me, Father. Speak to me and speak through me, God, I ask, God. Lord, let your word, God, let your anointing, God, fall fresh on me, Lord, that I'm able, God, to encourage your people on this morning. Father, I ask this, Lord. I ask, God, that you be glorified in me, Lord. Not that I want to be lifted up, God. Not that I want a pat on the back. But, God, I want you to be lifted up. I want to lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, God, I'm asking you to use me this morning. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray. Amen. Give God one more good praise. Give him one more good praise. One more good praise. A good praise. Hallelujah. Glory. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Kind of talked about this last Sunday. But my God, it's really good. I'm gonna read a little bit Exodus 2, starting at the very first verse, probably down to the 15th verse. And I'm gonna go back and try to expound on some scriptures. Lord, give me this last week, and we talked about it in our men's round table. Knowing your real identity. And we're going to be talking about Moses. Knowing who you really are. Paul said that, you know, that all Israel ain't Israel. You know, you got to recognize who they are, and you got to recognize who you are. And starting with the very first verse, and it reads, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Just caught that, Lord. That's 3 months. "And when she could no longer hide him, she took him. She took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him." God always got somebody watching, ain't he? His sister standing afar off, watching to see what's going to happen to her little brother. "And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister," the one that was watching him far off, Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call thee a nurse of the Hebrew woman that she may nurse the child for thee?" Isn't that something? Mama, I know where Moses is at. "And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.' And it came to pass in those days, when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens. And he spied an Egyptian smiting an Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together." Here they is out there fighting one another. "And he said unto him that did the wrong, 'Wherefore smitest thy fellow?'" In other words, saying, "What you doing hitting on your brother?" Like some of us tell our kid, "What you doing hitting on him, man?" "And he said, 'Who made thee a prince or judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?' And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now, when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses, but Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Let's go back up to verse 6, where it says, and when she had opened this basket, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept, and she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Pharaoh's daughter said that this is one of the Hebrews' children. See, the enemy knows who we are. He knows exactly who we are and what his plan is. See, we got to have a certain look about us. From a child, God marks his people, and he recognizes who we are. So God already has a plan for us. Like he told Jeremiah, I knew you before you was formed in your mother's womb. God knows who is his before mom and daddy come together. And this is why Jesus said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me. God knows that you belong to him. The Bible says also that when a man ways please the Lord, he make even his enemies to be at peace with him. So I believe that God was pleased with Moses' mother. She didn't do what the other women did. The commandment was that when y'all have these children, y'all get rid of these kids. Throw them in the river. First, he told the handmaids, hey, look, you get rid of these kids. If it's a boy, get rid of them. If it's a woman, they're still alive. And they didn't do it. So God blessed them. And so he told them, when you have a boy, you got to throw them on in the river. So Moses' mama didn't do what they did. She probably said, I ain't finna throw my child, my baby in no river. You know, some mothers are quick to get rid of their kids. You know, they don't want them. They don't want the responsibility. You know, they have fun making this baby. But they quick to go to that place where they get rid of the baby. Ain't thinking about the baby. Don't know if this child is the next Moses. You know, you don't know what God's plan is for these children. So she said, y'all do what y'all want to do. But I ain't throwing my baby to no crocodiles. You know, y'all go ahead and get rid of your children. And so I believe God honored that. And verse 10 says, and the child grew. And she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name, No, because I drew him out. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren and looked on the burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brothers. Now, what caught me was that Moses, he went out and he looked on his brothers. The Bible says, how did he know that these were brethren? Why wouldn't they just regular old men to Moses? Here I am, a prince of Egypt. What made Moses know and think that this was a brother of his? Well, we read that his mother nursed him. And after he was weaned, the mother gave him back to the Egyptian woman. But don't think for one moment that when she gave him back to that Egyptian woman, Moses didn't know who he was. He had an identity then. He knew exactly who he was. Though he was young, he knew who he was. See, we better know who we are. We better know when God draws us out of the world, that God put some greatness in us. God puts his spirit in us. And his spirit bears with our spirit. That's why when his spirit bears with our spirit, we can say Abba. We can call him Father. Huh? We're not strangers. That's my identity. That's your identity. So some people go back to the world with the same old stuff. You know, when you go back to the world with most stuff, the world gonna eat you up. You got to have something new when you go back to the world. When Moses went back, he didn't go back just as Moses. He went back with something. He went back with something. Moses knew then who he was. See, according to the Jewish tradition, weaning That's what they call it. You wean a child off the mom. The Jewish tradition, it took place anywhere from 18 months to 5 years of age. That sounds like a long time to us, ain't it? That's a long time to be suckling. You know, they want to get you off, wean you quick so they can put you on that Enfamil, put that pacifier in your mouth. You know, that's too long. I know a woman that she weaned her child till he was about 8 or 9 years old. Sure did. But the Jewish tradition was believed to wean their children between anywhere between 18 months and 5 years. So we know that when Samuel was weaned prior to being taken to Eli, the priest of the Lord, the Bible says that, and when he was weaned, she brought him to the house of the Lord of Shiloh, and the child was young. No exact age was given, but there was an emphasis on something. When he was young. So young to us nowadays is 12, 15, sometimes 20, sometimes 21. You know, but the Bible says that this child was young. And I believe he was young like the Jewish tradition. And I know it's kind of hard to believe that when you call yourself putting something in a child between that age frame, 18 months and 5 years, it's kind of hard to believe that they're going to retain anything that you tell them. But I got a witness. I was telling the saints that I've got a granddaughter. She's 2, and her mom puts stuff in her, and she is smart as a whip. That girl, she can read without aid. She spends time with her. And this is the same thing I believe that Moses' mama did. This is the same thing that Hannah did with Samuel. You know, this is what we got to do. We got to put some time in it. You know, and so I don't believe that Eli was going to be feeding Samuel no breast milk. I don't believe Hannah said, here you go, Eli. You know, you feed him at 6 o'clock with this. You know how we do? We got them pouches. You know, here goes some breast milk. No. I don't believe that Eli had no Enfamil. And I most definitely don't believe that Eli was going to be changing no diapers. So what I'm trying to say is that however old this boy was, he was old enough to know better and do things on his own. So you deal with the age. I'm going to say what the Bible says. We know that Isaac was weaned and he grew up, the Bible says, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. And I believe this is what they say, that Isaac's parents considered this event a very important occasion, that a son has survived the most difficult stages of life. Isn't that a difficult stage of a child's life when they're that young? If they don't eat, they can't survive. You know, you can push that bottle in their mouth. If they don't suck, they ain't gonna lie. That's why Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow by. So if they ain't desiring that sincere milk, they ain't gonna grow. But this is how that Moses knew who he was. He sat down with his mother, and his mother told him that look, baby, you're a Hebrew. Don't ever forget where you come from. Don't you ever forget you serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's who you are. That's who you serve. You don't serve. She put something in that boy. We got to put something in these children today. We got to let them know who they are. And if it wasn't your mama, maybe your daddy. If it wasn't your daddy, maybe your somebody. And we know, I can't leave this one out. If it wasn't mama, daddy, uncle, we know it's got to be some grandmamas. Because everywhere you go, grandmama got the children. Everywhere you go, this is my grandchild. This is my grandchild. So somebody, God going to use somebody. Somehow, you got your identity of who you are. You just ain't no nobody. You somebody. And don't let the devil tell you that you ain't. He's a liar, a deceiver, a cheater. He come to steal, kill, and destroy, to take your blessing from you. The enemy has brainwashed some of God's people by lying to them. It's time to let us know right now, today, not just your children, not just your children's children, but the little children that you meet, the young people that you meet, the elderly people that you meet. It's time to let them know who they are. Because people don't know who they are, especially some of God's folk. They just as lost and say they saved. How can you be both? How can you be lost and saved? You one or the other. Either you saved or you lost. Amen. Either you save or you ain't saved. You know? So it's time to let us know. Let the children know who they are. Moses was brought up to live a lie, like some of us are sometimes. They wanted him to believe that he was one thing he really wasn't. They wanted him to believe that he was something else. The enemy wants to forget who we are. When we got married, my eldest child is not my biological child, and they were on me about changing his last name to D's. And I thought about it, and I didn't jump. I wasn't hasty to make no move, and I thought, I ain't going to do it. Why is that? You're going to cause confusion. Well, I found out later on that if I had done it, I would have really caused some confusion. Look, the Bible says, desire the sincere milk that you may grow by. He ain't going to always be no baby. He going to want to know the truth. I want him to make his own decision. What you want to be? You know, so I left it alone. And when he got old enough, I said, talk to him. I said, you want daddy Chen? Because he used to always call me Daddy Al when he was young, when we was dating. He said, Daddy Al, Daddy Al. And so when we got together, I said, I'm not Daddy Al, I'm Daddy. Just leave Al out. You know, and so we got together and I said, do you want to be a Fouché or you want to be a D's? And he said he wanted to be a Fouché. So he a Fouché. You know? And it's very few of them. Very few. Hardly no men left. And so with that being said, that Fouché child can take on that name and take it, you know, take it a little farther. So I'm not afraid that this child wasn't going to love me because I loved him and treated him like my own. And when every time somebody refer to my children and my firstborn, it's always Jabre. And they'll ask, why is this one named Junior? And I tell them, this is my firstborn. This is the first child that I've ever reared up. So he's number one. Now, Al is number two. He may be a junior, but he's number two. However y'all want to look at it. So the devil don't want us knowing who we are. I refuse to bring him up into a lie. That's bringing him up into a lie. You're these. And later on, he get out there and he got brothers and sisters that he can meet, not knowing that this is my sister. So, well, Daddy, why didn't you tell me this? You know, Mama, why didn't you tell me this? Why ain't we telling the truth to these children? Don't be afraid of the truth. Tell them the truth. Let them know who they are. And Paul said, you know, therefore we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. We cannot let the word of God slip from us. When you let the word of God slip, then there you go. You slipping. When the word slipped from you, you slipping and sliding on through the world. And you wonder how you slip and you slide back into where you wasn't supposed to be. We got to give the most earnest heed to this word. We got to be in the word, live in the word, walk in the word, try to sleep the word. I used to try to, and still do. Before I go to sleep, I don't want to hear nothing else but the word. So I can dream the word. You know, I don't want nothing else on my mind because it's easy for stuff to take over your mind. Well, take over my mind. I don't know y'all strong-minded folk. It's easy for my mind to wander. You know, on something I done just drove by. Something I just heard on the radio. And then there go my mind painting this image. I do like some of them cartoons. get this stuff out of my head, man. I ain't supposed to be seeing that. And it's hard not to set your eyes up on no evil nowadays. It's hard. We don't do it deliberately, but it's hard not to see evil. And man, this mind is something. You know, they used to tell us when we used to go, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. That's the truth. That is the truth. It's a terrible thing to waste. Man, so we can't let the word of God slip. Maybe Moses' mama heard that Abraham had dreamed that the people would be in bondages 400 years. Maybe she heard that Joseph told the people, God will surely visit you and take you out of this land. But Joseph said, but when he does, y'all, because I'm sure that he's going to come and get us out of here. Maybe Moses' mama was putting all that stuff in Moses when he was a baby. And Moses saw that man doing something to one of his brothers and he killed him. Maybe, you know, just something. I kind of remember what mama said. You know, and Joseph said, look, when he do, y'all take my bones with you because I know God is going to bring us out of this thing. Don't leave a toe bone. Don't leave an elbow bone. Bring all my bones out of Egypt. I don't want nothing of me left with Egypt. See, Joseph didn't want to be identified dead with the people, let alone alive. He don't want to be, I don't want to be identified with the world dead. Make me alive, Lord. So Moses felt like he couldn't come up to where God wants him to. And sometimes it's hard. You know, I don't know. Some of y'all just, you know, I just admire a lot of people. I do. I look at them. But when I don't really know them, and if they get to talking long enough, then I'll be saying, oh, okay. I wasn't so bad after all. Oh, okay. It's, you learn a lot if you just listen. That's why I just be like, let me just listen. So Moses, maybe he felt like he couldn't go on because of his past, you know, what he did. Some of us feel like that we can't go no further because of what we did in our past. You know, you ever feel like that sometimes that you just ain't worthy? I mean, I'm talking about as a saint. You start thinking back on all of that crazy stuff. Lord, I wish, man, because you're growing, you know, in the newness of the Lord each day, you know, you get a little, you know, hungrier for the Lord, and you start thinking about that stuff on yesterday and just feel like, and then when God calls you, say, you're going to be a prophet. No, Lord, I can't be no prophet, because you start thinking about all of this stuff, you know. You're going to be a preacher. Well, I can't be no preacher, Lord. You know, I clean the toilets. I don't want you to be no porter. I got somebody for that. You know, sometimes God take those real educated folk. You go clean the toilet. Give me this reject that you don't want. Give me that one that you've been looking over. You know, he ain't even saying it's me, Lord, it's me. He trying to slide down in the seat, get out the way, Lord. You know, when a preacher get to preaching sometime, you know, you get like, I got to tie up my shoes. You know, you try to get out the way. Ain't no need you trying to hide. You can't go nowhere. Under the pew, back there, out of the way, go to the bathroom and sit and wait till service. Oh, when you come out, we waiting for you. It's you. Ain't you ever heard some preachers? I've seen preachers do that. I knew I saw you in the service earlier. You know, come back. It's you. It's you God trying to get a hold of. It's you. The one that can't speak real good. It's you. The one that got the temper. It's you. That's the one I want. That's God saying, I want you. Because I can glorify myself in you. I can't get no glory in this educated person. Because he gonna give all the credit to what Paul gave it to, that man that taught him everything. Huh? You're going to give it to him. You're going to give it to the university. You know, I got my doctor's degree. How about us get a Jesus degree? How about us be like those ignorant men that they said that sat with Jesus? Get a Jesus degree. See what Jesus will do about this thing. See what Jesus will say about it. get a Jesus degree. Anybody got a Jesus degree? I'm working on mine. I'm working on my Jesus degree. Yes, I am. I'm working on it. You got to get you a Jesus degree. So some people feel that they can't go no farther because of the past. Now, we know that Moses, he killed somebody. He was called a murderer. But that wasn't God. That wasn't who God called him. God didn't identify him as a murderer. Huh? Oh, we know that he couldn't talk real elegant. He didn't put those verbs and nouns together like I myself can't do. I just got to be me. You know, as long as I can get my point across to you and you say amen, oh yeah, then that's good enough. I ain't got to put the adjectives and all that. I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know about all that. But I sure can get to you, get down to it, and get with it with you. I can. So we know he didn't have this elegant speech, and he wasn't identified as a dummy or somebody that's slow or, come on, y'all know you've been, well, I was a little mean booger, you know. And you get out there and you get with your buddies and you get to talking about people, what we call it, joning. You know, might call him a retard. He can't talk, he's a retard. But God didn't call him slow or dumb. That wasn't his identity. We know that he lost his temper, like some of us do. But God didn't identify him as a hothead. You know, we did some things that we weren't supposed to do, but that's not who you are. That's not who I am. I'm not that person no more. That's not who we identify ourselves with. Our past. Paul said this, brother, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing that I do. I don't count myself to know everything, to grab this and grab that. I don't have all the revelations. I don't have all the understanding. I don't count myself as that person. He said, but this one thing that I do, this one thing that we got to do, saints of God, forgetting the things that are behind, forgetting your past, reach forward, huh? Forget what you used to do. Forget what they used to call you. Huh? You're not a murderer. You're not a whoremonger. You're not a thief. You're not a liar. That's the father of the, that's the enemy. You know, you're not those things. But he said, but reaching forth for those things that are before you. What's before you? Huh? He said, I'm not a murderer. I'm not no liar. I'm not no whoremonger no more. I'm a what? I'm a new creature. I'm a new man. I'm not that old man no more. Huh? I'm not him no more. But he said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now I got a new name. You can call me Freddie. You can call me Brother Al. You can call me Fred. You can call me Al. You can call me D's. But here's how I identify myself. I am more than a conqueror. I am healed. That's who I am. I'm not sick. I am the head and not the tail. That's who I am. I am the lender and not the borrower. I am a child of the Most High God. I am an overcomer. I am what I am because of who I am. That's why I am what I am, because of the great I am. I can't help it that he changed my name. Huh? If you want to be sick, that's who you be. Be sick. If you want to be a borrower, that's your name. Be a borrower. You want to be last? What's up, last? You want to be, come on. Be for real. I am. He said, you are more than a conqueror. So what's, I am. Huh? What's going on, less than a conqueror? What's going on, defeated brother? How you doing? You defeated. Who are we? Got to recognize who we are. That's my identity. That's who I am. That's who God made me to be. You know, what God has blessed, no man can curse. You hear me? What God bless, no man can curse. Ain't that what the prophet said? He said, man, I don't care if you give me half of your kingdom. It don't even matter. I cannot curse what God blessed. Devil cannot curse you because God put a blessing on you. So how could you be less than a conqueror? How could you be the borrower? How could you be the tail if God didn't bless you? Huh? What God has blessed, no man can curse. If you're poor in the spirit, then you bless. If you're meek, then you're blessed. If you're merciful, you're blessed. If you're persecuted, I know some folk don't feel like they belong to God when they're persecuted, but the Bible said, blessed are the persecuted. If you're persecuted, you're blessed. Huh? So hold your head up when you're going through because you're blessed. Hold your head up when things ain't going your way because you're blessed. I'm blessed. I don't care if don't nothing look like it's going my way. I'm still blessed. I'm going to speak blessing over my life. I'm going to speak this thing into existence. I'm going to speak until it get down to me. It ain't got to get in you. It don't matter what you think about me. It don't matter what nobody think about you. You got to get it in yourself. You got to keep on rehearsing it and rehearsing it and rehearsing it until when one day you'll walk and don't none of that stuff faze you. You can say what you, that's why Jesus kept on stepping. We know who we serve, but who you serve. Huh? We know who we are, but who you worship. Some folk don't even know they worshiping God. He said, if you're a peacemaker, then you are blessed. And you're blessed and not cursed. That's who we are, saints of God. That is our identity. God made me who I am and not who I was. God made us who we are today and not what we was. So if you was an alcoholic, that's what you was if you in Christ. If you was a whoremonger, that's what you was if you in Christ. If you were a thief, and we walking around tomorrow, I'm a thief. You know, I'm this, I'm that. You better pick out some of them names that what he said you was, that you is. Huh? You better do it. See, God is seeking us out. God is seeking you out to give you a new name. You got to know your identity. You got to know that you are a child of the King. You have to believe what God has spoken over your life. Don't leave this place believing that you are something other than what God has said that you are. God made me. He made you what you are today. The Bible says if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. So you're not what you used to be. Huh? Don't let the enemy strip you of your identity. Huh? That's called identity theft. And you know that he is a what? Thief. He ain't come to rob your pockets only. If he get your mind, steal your mind, he ain't got to worry about it. You ain't gonna have no money. You ain't gonna have no wife. You ain't have no children. You ain't gonna have nothing if he strip you of your identity. If he strip you of who you are. Many of us, when we were young, God allowed our mom to put the word in us. Many of us. I know my mama did. I give y'all this testimony. I know you done heard it before, but you gotta listen again. I got into a fight. I was in the third grade. Isn't that something? I was in third grade. Boy, fighting in third grade. What kind of stuff is that? No, y'all ain't heard of that kind of stuff before. And I got into a fight, and I had this little plastic stick in my mouth, and God hit that stick, and it split my mouth. Woo! Well, I mean, open. I went home, told mom got in a fight. She looked at me. She put me on the couch, gave me the Bible. Now, I mean, when I said this lip was open, it was open. I still got the scar on it. I mean, it was open. I could at least had maybe 10, I'm going to say 10 stitches there. It was a big gap. I mean, you can put your finger and just go up, and it was just flayed open. Mom put me on the Bible, put me on the couch and gave me that Bible and say, keep reading this. And the only thing I can remember after all of that, because she said, give me, here's the scripture. He was wounded for my transgression. But the only thing I can remember I kept saying was, by his stripes, I am healed. Man, I sat there on that couch. I mean, I was sitting by, I was just sleeping. And I mean, I think the book slid off on the couch. I just kept saying what mama say do. I did what mama say do. How many of y'all going to do what mama say do? You got to do what mama say do. She trying to put some word in you. She trying to put some life in you. You better keep on. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I was healed. I didn't go to no doctor. That thing closed up. I didn't have no disease. I didn't have no after effects. Look, by his stripes, I'm healed. If God allow your mama to put something in you, believe. Believe it. That's your identity. She put in me that, look, I am healed. God is seeking us out today, saints of God, to give you a new name. I'm going to read this scripture, Isaiah 62, verse 12. And they shall be called, and they that shall call, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. I don't know about nobody else, but God is trying to call somebody sought out today. He's trying to seek. He's seeking you out. He sought. It wasn't that woman that drew Moses. It wasn't you. It wasn't the preacher that caused you to come to the altar. Huh? It wasn't pastor. It wasn't mama. It wasn't them that got you up here. You were drawn. You were drawn out of that world, just like Moses was drawn out of that water. But somebody had to pick him up. Somebody had to pick you up. Pastor had to pick you up. Brother had to pick you up. God is seeking right now. Your name, whoever you are today, want to be called sought out. You want to come back to the Lord today, your name will be sought out. Huh? You'll be redeemed. It's not the matter of your past. That's just what it is. Your past is just what it is. It's your past. That's all it is. It ain't no more. It's gone now. It's the past. It's behind you. But we're trying to get what it is today. We don't want the enemy stripping us of who we are. I am more than a conqueror. I am a son of the living God. Who are you today? Are you a child of God? Or are you this, that, and the other? Huh? You better know who you are, saints. When you get out there in that world, you better know that you are with God and know that God is with you. You better know that your Father's in heaven is looking down on you, protecting you, watching you. We got to know it. We got to know it. Don't let the enemy steal your identity. Don't let them say that you're this and you're not that. Don't believe the devil. Don't believe that you're not worthy. None of us is worthy. Jesus, our Savior, has made us worthy of every blessing that he had bestowed upon us. The Bible tells us that we are sitting in heavenly places. He had bestowed upon us all heavenly blessings. So don't walk out of here saying that I don't know if I'm really saved. I don't feel saved. I ain't been to church in 2 weeks, 2 years. You're still a child of God. But some got to come back home. Some of us got to come back. You've been away long. It's time to come back. It's time to meet. Huh? It's time to meet him. Time to say, Lord, here I am. Give me my new name. Huh? Leave here today with a new name. I got my new name. I thank God for my new name. I'm not Freddie no more. I'm not Al. I am redeemed. And I will say so. Saints of God, I am done. Anybody need prayer today? Anybody want to come to the Lord? Anybody want to come back to the Lord? We're not trying to do this as a format or formality. God wanted me to tell you that don't you let the enemy strip you of your identity. So what? You've been gone for a long time. So what you did these type of things? God is a merciful God. He's a forgiving God. And the Bible don't say if you make one step, he'll make two. But I believe when you come and meet him, he'll meet you. How about that? I believe if you come, Jesus will meet you. Whosoever will, let him come. Hallelujah. Anybody need prayer? Anybody need to come back? We'll touch and agree.